Now, following a sharp reprimand from President Cyril Ramaphosa to Parliament, and that's regarding the lack of progress in forming the National Gender-Based Violence Council, the positions are expected to be announced shortly. Now, House Chairperson Cedric Froehlich has informed political parties that he regards the issue as a high priority, and he has also directed the Portfolio Committee to take a prompt action on the council, which was established through a parliamentary act that Mr. Ramaphosa enacted almost a year ago, aims to deliver strategic leadership, and that's to combat and address that very, very serious topic of gender-based violence and femicide in South Africa. To give us more information on this and to discuss this further with us, we are joined online by the director of the Callis Foundation, Caroline Peters. Caroline, very good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon to you too. Thank you.
Thank you so much for giving us your time, especially on Heritage Day.
Yes.
I hope you're having a good Heritage Day firstly.
We are. Just finished my braai.
Awesome stuff. let's take it back to last year. What actually prompted President Cyril Ramaphosa to form this committee, this National Gender-Based Violence Council?
So remember, this goes back to when we had the GBV summit. This was one of the demands, that the GBV council be established. And this was done already, I'm just trying, 2020 and 21 and 22, we had the GBV summit. But remember when the country, we got locked down and there was the total shutdown on the 1st of August, the same year, when Uyeneni was murdered, there was a call for a GBV summit. And then subsequently, this was on the plan that there should be a national GBV council. It was, you know how long it takes years. Last year, it was signed off by the president. So a year later, nothing has been done. There hasn't even been a call for nominations or anything. So this is, I mean, it's great that our president has eventually, you know, it's a wake-up call, a reminder that we cannot delay action any longer. GBV is a national crisis. If you know, the president said during COVID time that GBV is a pandemic. However, there's still no national council in place.
You're saying that this was signed in by the president a year ago. So what prompted him to reprimand Parliament on the establishment of that council?
I mean, we all know and see the escalation of gender-based violence, you know. So we continue to face some of the highest GBV and femicide rates in the world. Women are killed 5 times the global average. So Parliament's delaying the formation of the council, despite the act being signed nearly a year ago, tells you, I mean, for me, where's the political will? You know, survivors and civil society, we've been waiting for this mechanism to coordinate a whole of society and a whole of government response to gender-based violence. So the president reprimanding them or demanding for urgency, lives are at stake, and every delay costs more women and children, their lives.
Now, once this council is officially formed, what will the council actually be able to do to address this very serious social ill that we have here in South Africa of gender-based violence and femicide? And also, do you think that the council will be able to do enough work to adequately address this problem?
Okay, so the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Act provides for a permanent statutory council, like we have the Gender Commission, we have the Human Rights Commission, etc., those Chapter 9 institutions. So the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Act provides for a permanent statutory council. So it's mandated to oversee the national. So if you understand, there's an NSP, which we call the National Strategic Plan, to ensure government departments deliver on their commitments and track budgets and implementation. We can have a council, but if there's no budget and there's no implementation, so this body will oversee that. So the council will consist of 13 members, and 7 of them will come from civil society, and 80% of them will be women. So this will ensure that survivors' voices and feminist leadership is at the center of this. It will monitor performance. It will publish annual reports. It needs to advise the government on policies and funding priorities to eradicate gender-based violence.
And hopefully we can see them do that exact thing.
And I just want to add, will the council be enough? Even though this is an important step, but the council alone will not be able to solve gender-based violence. Like I said, it must be properly resourced. There must be political backing. And there must be follow-through on its recommendations. Mm. We see it with all the other commissions. I mean, we've seen it with the, I don't want to play politics, but with the Zondo Commission, was the recommendations followed through? Almost none of them, you know. So it must hold departments accountable for implementing the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. And we must ensure budgets are spent where they are most needed. Yeah. Prevention, psychosocial support, shelters, and justice reforms. I mean, Dauft is number one in the country. In South Africa, Dauft is the highest amount of gender-based violence in this country. I almost say I want to feel ashamed that the area with the most GBV is here, right here in the Western Cape, in Cape Town. Mm.
And that's something that we also are very concerned about. Also, when we hear government saying that there's going to be a council established, or there's going to be a board established, is that everything always looks nice on paper, but when it comes to practical implementation, will that actually make the necessary impact that is needed in the country? And I think that's obviously always a big concern. Now, with that, and with gender-based violence as a pandemic in South Africa at the moment, what are some of the biggest challenges that we face in South Africa when it comes to tackling the issue of gender-based violence and also keeping perpetrators accountable for their actions?
Yes. So we have absolutely every bill, every legislation to eradicate gender-based violence. However, there's inconsistent implementation of protection orders. These are part of our current challenges. Weak policing response and slow court processes. We know right now, currently, if you go, I'll just make an example of Athlone Magistrate Court. If someone comes to our office for assistance, we know they will only get a date for an order for next year, God willing. And I mean, this means that this woman, we know during the holiday period, we see the escalation of the violence during the holiday period. So this is a mother and the children is going to sit during December with the interim protection order being granted with a notice to, the slow court processes, weak policing responders, underfunded shelters and psychosocial services. We see the conflicts. The Cape Flats is a war zone at the moment. We don't have funded psychosocial services for what is happening. Harmful social norms that normalize violence, you know. We should be rolling out programs to change this. We must hold perpetrators accountable. And how are we going to do it? Through strengthening investigation capacity. I read an article recently. We saw the article about how little detectives there are in the whole South African police services, you know, or investigate and especially fast-track gender-based violence cases, enforce bail and sentencing guidelines consistently. We see how one perpetrator gets out on a 500 rand for bail for rapists, a femicide matter where there's a murder. The man comes out on 500 rand bail. We must use community mobilization, encourage reporting, support survivors to stay the course in the justice system. We must engage men and boys in prevention so that we don't just respond to violence, but we stop it before it happens. And that's why it's important to have men and boys program.
I think that's definitely important. We need to address the issue at a young age already and educate the next generation as to why this isn't okay. This behavior is not, it's not something that belongs in any society. But also, on what you said, there's been a lot of calls also for judicial reform in South Africa. Because as you mentioned, people are committing serious crimes, killing, rape, and gender-based violence in general. But then they get off with very, very light sentences, and that really upsets a lot of individuals, especially the people who are the victims then. of those crimes. So I think that that's definitely been something that a lot of people have been calling for for a long time already. But Caroline, we are unfortunately going to have to leave with you. Thank you so much for giving us your time and discussing this very, very important topic with us. And hopefully we can have you back on again soon.
Yes, certainly. Thank you for having me.